It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Following the Jerry Sandusky child abuse scandal, members of the Pennsylvania State Legislature introduced a long list of bills intended to keep children safer, force professionals to better report suspected abuse, and make it easier for victims to get help. While most of those bills never moved out of committee, many of them became law. Keeping track of those laws is the job of our guest, Kathy Utz, with the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services Office of Children, Youth, and Families. Kathy Utz, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having us.
I'd like to start by addressing some of the confusion that is out there right now. One of the key laws sets up a list of individuals that must go through background checks. And then the Wolf administration put some of those deadlines on hold. Can you explain or clarify what's happening now?
Sure. So I'm not sure that we actually put those deadlines on hold, but essentially you're right that there's two groups of individuals that are required to get clearances if you think about it in a broad-based perspective. So it's individuals who are employed in occupations working with children. And then we also have individuals who are volunteering their time with children. And so that within the work that we've been doing, that beginning in December and then subsequently on July 1st, there were some amendments to the Child Protective Services Law, I think to really clarify, through the General Assembly, those individuals who are required to get clearances and then which clearances they are required to obtain.
So how are these checks different than those done in the past?
Sure. So I think that when we talk about this, in terms of individuals who are employed or foster and adoptive parents, they've always been required to obtain three clearances in Pennsylvania, one of those being the Pennsylvania State Police certification related to criminal history, one being a fingerprint-based FBI clearance, and then the third being the child abuse clearance through the Department of Human Services. And that for individuals who were working with clearances, that was really a once-and-done clearance. You got it at the time that you sought employment. If you continued to be employed in that same agency, you didn't need to get a clearance. So essentially, someone could have been employed beginning, let's say, 20 years ago, and they never would have had to have received another clearance. So what the current law does is say that for individuals who are in employment, that they have to get those clearances now every 16 months. Prior to the enactment of the recent statute, volunteers were not required to obtain clearances. Many volunteer organizations did seek clearances on behalf of their volunteers, but they weren't required to do so. So the law that was passed on July 1st is effective beginning August 25th going forward, that an individual has to receive their Pennsylvania State Police clearance. They have to receive the child abuse clearance from the Department of Human Services. And if they have not resided in Pennsylvania continuously for the past 10 years, they would have to get the fingerprint-based FBI clearance.
What's going to raise a red flag here?
So I think there's a couple things. That there are certain crimes that if a person has committed certain crimes within our Commonwealth or within another state, that they would be prohibited from working or volunteering with children. So those really are some of the crimes against the person, and they're specified in statute. They include some of the sexual violence crimes. They include homicide, aggravated assault, kidnapping, endangering the welfare of children, and dealing in infant children. So there's a list of several crimes that will prohibit employment. And then if a person was a founded perpetrator on the department's clearances, meaning that a court found that they had abused a child through a potential dependency proceeding or through another criminal proceeding, they would be barred from employment for the next 5 years. And same thing for volunteers.
And certainly that's all good. It all seems pretty obvious, I would think, that you would want to check up on those types of things. Are there things on there that maybe weren't there in the past or other things that are a little more subtle than, say, kidnapping, for example?
So I think that there's a list, and that list has primarily been in effect for many, many years. One of the things that the task force and the legislature did is it actually is requiring the Department of Human Services, the Department of Education, and the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency to actually review that list of crimes to see do they continue to be the right crimes that will prohibit employment or volunteerism. Should they be changed, and should there be any time frames associated with those? So they're not, I think they're not new to the employment field or those individuals who were getting volunteers cleared before. And it really is kind of a list of crimes that, you know, I think it will give you pause and say, you know what, should a person, if they committed these acts, be permitted to work or volunteer with children?
And how many people are being rejected in these checks? Are we catching anybody with this, or is it a matter of going through a process to appease the bureaucracy?
No, absolutely we are. We do, and while I will say it's a smaller number of individuals, it's under 1%. So I think the good news is that the individuals who are applying for these positions aren't generally the individuals who are committing crimes against children like this, and it is kind of under 1% right now. But I think that what we have to remember is that absent these clearances, we are really putting our children who are oftentimes unable to protect themselves in harm's way. If we allow somebody who has been known to commit one of these acts in a position where they could potentially abuse another child.
And again, how often will these certifications need to be updated?
They have to be every 60 months or every 5 years.
And is there a way to appeal a rejection?
So, yes, what you can do is because these are related to criminal convictions, if a person is saying, you know what, I was not convicted of that crime, they would go back to the entity and they would actually have to appeal the criminal conviction. If it was based on adjudication of dependency, they would have to go back to the court that entered that order to really get that off the record. Because there was a judicial determination in these cases, they can do that. We also, in Pennsylvania, have what are indicated reports. And for those reports through the Department of Human Services, there's an appeals process through our office. And I think one of the important things to note that is if someone is convicted of a crime that's outside of those that are listed in the Child Protective Services law or an indicated report, that employers do have discretion, that they may choose to go beyond the statutory requirement if they believe that the person and that crime could impact their ability to provide services and or care to a child.
There's a cost associated with these checks. I understand the governor has waived some of the fees. Which fees are waived and for whom?
Sure. So I think the first one is that the governor in June made the decision that effective July 25th that we would waive the cost for volunteers. And so that the cost of the $10 child abuse clearance and the cost of the $10 Pennsylvania State Police clearance was waived beginning on July 25th. The General Assembly actually did codify that in recent legislation, so they've supported that amendment as well, and it becomes statute now that volunteers would not be charged. They do still have to pay the FBI fee because the department doesn't set that, nor does the Commonwealth. The other thing that we were able to do is for employment purposes, the Department of Human Services and the Pennsylvania State Police statute permits us to charge up to $10, and Governor Wolf reduced the fee from $10 to $8 for those clearances. Again, we cannot reduce the fee for FBI clearances because those are set by the FBI.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about the laws that have been put in place to make children safer, protect them from abuse in the wake of the Sandusky child abuse scandal, and how background checks work with our guest, Kathy Utz, with the Department of Human Services, Office of Children, Youth, and Families here in the state of Pennsylvania. When people first started to apply for these checks, there were stories of wait times that were several weeks long, which was in violation of the law. Where do you stand now on that backlog?
Absolutely. So, you know, we acknowledge that there was that backlog before and that we were over the statutory timeframe. We are well under those. We are averaging probably around 4 to 5 days at this point for the Department of Human Services clearances. And I think that one of the things that is, you know, critical and helpful is that prior to December 31st, that clearances through the Department of Human Services were strictly a paper-based process. Someone sent us a form. We took that information, we entered it into our databases, and we sent them information back. But beginning on December 31st, we actually offered the ability for individuals to use our website and to actually submit those electronically and to pay electronically. So you can find information about submitting those clearances online at keepkidssafe.pa.gov. And that essentially what that means is that the response time would be much quicker if you provide that information and we can make a determination through an auto clearance that the person is not listed in our register.
There is also training that some individuals who come in contact with children need to take. What is the focus of the training and how could it be obtained?
Sure. That training is specific to individuals who are mandated reporters. And there is really essentially kind of three groups that are required to be trained. One, for several years, school employees were required to be trained, and that was under the public school code. And more recently, it was individuals who are really providing services that are licensed by the Department of Human Services, where the care is provided essentially to children and foster parents. And then there have also been, through legislation, approximately 16 boards of individuals who are licensed by the Department of State. And as a condition of their licensure when working with children, they have to obtain training. The department has several contracts with individuals that provide training, but we also launched on November 14th an online training. Information can be found about that training at keepkidssafe.pa.gov. And that training is free and it is online. You can start, you can stop, and take it as is convenient for your schedule, so that we've done everything that we could to make it be something that would meet an individual's needs. And so that would fulfill and satisfy the training requirements under the amendments to the Child Protective Services Law.
And finally, more assets have been allocated to those reporting child abuse. Again, when the Sandusky case was in the spotlight, we saw a spike in reports of child abuse. Have those numbers remained high or have they fallen off in the ensuing months?
No, I think that if you talk with us, we continue to receive more reports than we have in the past. I think that there was a period of time where, you know, we saw a huge spike and then they may have leveled off for a bit because of the recent changes, that those numbers have again increased, and that I think that that's good in that people are calling when they are concerned, so that we're doing a great job at raising the awareness of individuals that child abuse is something that we should be concerned about and that it does happen in each of our communities.
Kathy Utz with the Department of Human Services Office of Children, Youth, and Families here in the state of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh. This has been a fascinating conversation.
Thank you for getting the word out on our behalf.
Coming up, how is the Peduto administration laying the groundwork for establishing business relationships between the Steel City and Cuba? And what could it mean for the city's economic outlook when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA?